Blog Talk Radio.
It's no stress, baby.
Show you how much I appreciate you. Wanna show you how much I'm dedicated to you. Wanna show you how much it will forever be true. Wanna show you how much you got your girl feeling good. Wanna show you how much you understood. Wanna show you how much I value what you say. Not only are you loyal, you're patient with me, babe. Wanna show you how much I really care about your heart.
Swirling on my bag, swirling, swirling on your bag. I wanna
never go loose. Hey, hey, I'm so used to being you. We live in no lies. Hey, hey, you're my favorite kind of night.
I just don't think they understand the type of shit you into, you know. You like it. Sorry.
Fucking you deep, taking pics on my phone.
Sorry.
Put you to sleep when you wake up, it's gone.
Sorry.
I'll violate all the meat on your bones.
Sorry.
Your shit gets saucy, I lick till it's gone. Kiss me, I know it tastes like you. Dirty. You ain't done this before, but this is what we gon' do, yeah. I can see it in you.
I know, yeah.
You like when I do you dirty, yeah. Like when I do you dirty. Oh. Put your face in the pillow. I be smacking on that ass. I grab your neck, took you real slow. You You ain't even gotta ask. You like when I do you dirty. I ain't gon' tell nobody. Oh, tell nobody. Open, I'm loving the show.
Right.
Ain't just put in, but for me you a whole.
Right.
Both hands and no hands, you get to the job.
Right.
You came for the cream, when I'm close you don't stop. Cause you're dirty, kiss me, I know it tastes like me.
Yeah.
Right. I'm the nastiest nigga that you've ever seen.
Yeah, I see something in you. Yeah.
You like when I do you dirty.
Yeah.
Like when I do you dirty.
Oh.
I put your face in the pillow. I be smacking on that ass. I grab your neck, took you real slow. You ain't even gotta ask. You like when I do you dirty. I ain't gon' tell nobody. Oh, don't tell nobody. Oh, tell nobody. This ain't nice and slow, it's all physical. 200 on the dash. Bust that open, no, I want all the smoke. You ain't even gotta ask. What's all over your body? Ooh, 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 ooh. Like when I do you dirty. Like when I do you dirty.
Oh,
I put your face in the pillow. I be smacking on that ass. I grab your neck, choke you real slow. You ain't even gotta ask. You like when I do you dirty. I ain't gon' tell nobody. Oh, don't tell nobody.
Y'all niggas been making a mistake. That's what you wanted, that's what you get, oh, I'll be. Look what you did, kid, yeah, oh, I'll be. See what you did to me. Honestly, I'm trying to stay focused. You must think I got to be joking when I say I don't think I can wait. I just need it now. Let it swing my way. I just need some dick. I just need some love. Tired of fucking with these lying niggas, baby. I just need a sub. Won't you be my plug, ayy? You could be the one, ayy. You start with a handshake, baby. I'ma need more than a hug. Girls can never say they want it. Girls can never say yeah. Girls can never say they need it. Girls can never say nah. Girls can never say they want it. Girls can't never say how. Girls can't never say they need it. Girls can't never say now. Oh now, baby, give it to me like you need it, baby. Want you to hear me screaming every breath, and I don't need a reason, baby. I want it till you can't fight. I can get it to you right, baby. Oh, I wanna be a healing. I can be real good. Please don't get in your feelings. I need some love. Hey, I need some love. Hey, I need some love. Hey, and you can't judge.
You don't really call on me like you should. Think about roll through the hood. Problems, but everything's all good, my love. Your nigga doesn't want smoke with me, nah, no way. Trust me, it's all okay. Trust me, it's all. You just need someone that's calm and patient. Submission, domination. Arch back, deep stroke, white wine, we smoke. That's my best combination. You just need some dick with no complications. You just need some, you just need some late night attention, unconditioned, all that you're missing, my babe. Fucked up, shouldn't even have to justify. I get it, I'm on your side. Guys get it their way all the time. Besides, pleasure not meant for one side. You should just do what's best for your mind. How about I just take my time? You call up my line, I fall up inside you. Girls need love too, I know.
Girls need love too, yeah. Girls need love too. Girls need love.
Let me tell you something.
Girls need love.
Girls need love.
Good evening. Evening to one and all. Welcome to the Tuesday night here on Epiphany Radio Universe. We are doing a special edition for this right now, one time. And I am incredibly blessed and humbled to do this interview with someone who's been a pioneer for Black erotic creatives and poets like myself. Without their work, without their ability to have kicked down doors, made ways, made roads and inroads for people like myself, the Sweet Spot, Intimate Art Team, the Sex Show, and a few others, to really come out and really be able to ply our trade of erotic poetry and things of that sort. But this is not just about that. This person is incredibly multidimensional. Normally, you know, I usually put music on and talk, but I'm not going to do that this time. The person that I speak of is Jessica Holter, who's also known as Girdle Girl Blue, who's a gifted writer and visual artist and an anointed public speaker. She is most famous for creating the Punani Poets in 1995, when rapper Eazy-E died of AIDS complications in an anticipation of rapid spread amongst different franchise, Black and African-American women. All right, so tonight, you know, I'm curating a little bit differently. You know, people I've talked to, I brought certain people in because I knew they would actually contribute and also help out as long as, you know, because, you know, as I'm still in a little bit of my recovery, doing a lot better than I was. But also, it's also an incredible gift to be able to examine through interview an incredible person whose ability, history, artistry, and creativity has influenced so many, not just Black erotic creators, but creators overall. And we are absolutely, absolutely blessed to have her on the show. So, ladies and gentlemen, good people, one and all, I introduce you to Miss Jessica Holter. Miss Holter, are you there?
I am.
Okay, I'm hoping that you can hear me clearly. Yeah, no, I can hear you clearly.
Okay.
Normally, I throw on music. And if you're listening to this, if you're listening to the show, if you're listening to the show, you can dial in. The number is 319-527-6300. Press 1 to be heard. All right. You can also stream it at www.blogtalkradio.com/IEYEC, the letter C, and people. All right. You can stream it live from there on your thing. You can also go to the event page that's on Facebook or follow any of the links. And I believe through the Honey Dripper Erotic, the_HoneyDripper_erotic, as well as Epiphany's Hidden Radio Show, should have both of the links that you should be able to follow to this particular page if you're listening. Okay? So is that helpful, Ms. Holter?
Yes.
Okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to open up the mics of some of my people who are here, my family here at Epiphany Radio Universe. They're my people who rock with me. Also, I like them. They always have good commentary, so I can trust them to be safe. So I'm bringing in Lisa Lips from VA. I'm bringing Danielle Cheney, my favorite Philly John from Philly, of course. Our station manager, Van Meadows. Van, are you there?
Hey, hey, hey. I am definitely here. Welcome to Epiphany Radio. Ms. Holter, glad to have you.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And yes, I can do that for you, Ms. Holter.
Thank you.
I also have Danielle, are you there?
I'm here. Hey, everybody. How y'all doing?
All right. Hold up, let me go get, of course, from the great state of Georgia, by way of Atlanta, by way of North Carolina. Rare Epiphany, are you there?
I am. Hello, good evening.
All right. And I do believe my good friend, Joe the Verbal Mind Dancer, are you there?
Yes, sir, I'm here. Welcome, Ms. Colton.
I also have via by Atlanta, Honey Dip, are you there?
I am. Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor, and I'm just happy to be here. Welcome, Ms. Colton.
Thank you.
Okay, so You know, we all know the rules. You know, if you're here, of course, you know, one of the things that you can do is make sure that you have no sounds in the background. I'm not going to play music in the background. Well, I might play it very, very low, of course, but more importantly, it's important for us to be able to hear her clearly and make sure everything else is on. With that being said, let me do this. This is important. So, of course, we put our standard sound in the background, of course, so people can hear us, hopefully. All right? All right. Ms. Holter.
Yeah.
Given that it's an honor and distinct pleasure, I'm going to operate off the list that I gave you. We'll start with that first question that we always ask almost every writer and poet that comes into the doors of Epiphany Radio. How long have you been writing?
I say people don't really think much, I think, about what happens in elementary school. But for me, I want to say my second grade teacher was like, "Oh, you're such a good storyteller. You should be a writer." And for some reason, I had it stuck in my head that she was right and I should be a writer. So I never in my life wanted to be anything other than a writer. I have other talents. I do art, and of course I produce theater and stuff like that, but I really consider myself above all to be a writer, because that's everything that I defined myself as from the very beginning. And even if I don't actually write stuff down, when my family is talking, or you know, I'm talking to my friends or whatever, and they tell me a story, I can't help but to think of it as a book. It's so weird. But yeah, my whole life, I always wanted to be a writer, because I feel like the writer is the person who defines history. Without the written word, there's really no record of what happened. You know, I don't even want to say his story. I just want to say, like, there's really no record unless you write that down, because that is the one way we can all definitely communicate with one another. Of course, you know, there's visual art, which is interpretive, and the written word to a degree is interpretive, but I mean, it's the word. So
beautiful. One of the things that I saw in your bio, it says you like to think of yourself as an adult foster child. And so
yeah.
I knew that a portion of it stated that you grew up in the foster care system. And I was wondering if it wasn't too personal. Could you explain why do you feel that way?
Foster care is, I guess in some ways, can be a benevolent for children who are lost or who have been abandoned, given away, or whatever, by their parents. But what people need to understand is that it is definitive. Like, it absolutely defines who you are as a person. And off top, you are operating in the world as a person who has been abandoned. And so it creates abandonment issues. Even if people find you and love you and raise you and all of that, there is still that issue of having been abandoned that is looming over you. And you cannot shake it off. You cannot learn it away. You cannot grow it away. You cannot earn it away. It is who you are. Any adult foster child will tell you that. It's a permanent part of who you are. I have to define myself that way, because that is my first memory of you know, my mother holding me by my wrist, giving me away in the street to whoever would ask for me.
Mm. Wow. I'm so sorry.
And to make matters worse, like, my mother was a white woman and I'm a little black girl, so, like, that just adds insult to injury and created a lot of distrust of white people, distrust of the system. I operate in this world as a person who understands that the system is not for me. White people are not for me.
So this is a sidebar question because we didn't really prepare for this. So do you feel that some of the people who were white injured you maybe physically or emotionally? They might have abused you in some form or some fashion.
Do I feel that which people?
The white people that you encountered as a child.
No, I feel like the system is white in its, I don't know, bureaucracy is white. White to me is not necessarily a color of flesh. White is a way of thinking. It is a way of, it is dominant and control over the masses of people. But what, I don't know, man, maybe they came up with the system a long time ago, and maybe they built the system as they went along and saw that within the black community we had certain deficits, certain characteristics, certain things about us that allowed them to be able to come in and manipulate. It is the devil. It is the devil that finds weaknesses among people and takes advantage of those weaknesses. That is what I see. That is what I've experienced in my life. And it has been a benevolence for me to surround myself with strong black men and strong black women to guide me. But there are also weak men, weak women, weak black people who have subscribed to the system. So, yeah, I was molested in foster care, but by a black man, not by white people. White people did not molest me. White people did not perpetuate, like, the physical violence upon me or anything like that. They just put me in a system where they probably knew that shit was going to go down, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it works. That's why you have to be stronger than the devil. You got to hold on to the God in you no matter what. Even when you are tempted to go against, if you are moving through this world, something comes up and you have the option to do the right thing or the wrong thing, you know what those things are. You have to be stronger than the devil in all things. That is what I learned from growing up in the system.
Wow. Well, you know what? People who have who move through trauma gain an incredible amount of strength, and that strength influences their decisions, everything else like that. And just one of the things that I loved how you said it. You said I surround myself with strong black men, strong black women. You know, and that some people give into the system and things of that sort. So do you feel that, institutionalized racism and inequalities, like you said, the system, exist on every single level or just at a certain economic echelon where it might be prevalent?
No, it's on every single level. This is why I love comedy, right? I watch all the comedy shows. This is why Chris Rock said what he said. He's like, I am, like, in the league of all these great people, and I live in this particular community around all these great black people, but my neighbor is a white guy who's a fucking dentist. Because it starts at the bottom, goes all the way up to the top. It really doesn't matter because the racism in it, system, I don't think people really understand, like, in 1924, they passed the Racial Integrity Act. This is an act that turned Native Americans, if they were of color, into black people. It was it was a system that was created to keep an underclass so that poor white people would feel better than somebody, you see? So that poor white people wouldn't rage against the system. So you have to create somebody who's worse off than them. We create this group of people. We'll tell them they're, you know, slaves from Africa that came over on ships and all this stuff. They created a story, sold it to us so that we believe it, so that from the first time you learn anything in school, you feel like, oh, you know, we're so lucky to just be alive. Oh, Harriet Tubman. Like, it's so deep, so intricate. I don't believe that so-called black people in America can really understand it because we don't think like that. We think mostly about love, sex, community, entertainment, looking good. Like, you know, we're people who enjoy life. Whereas you have another group of people. I mean, I'm not talking about the diaspora. I'm talking about black people in America, so-called black people in America. Mm-hmm. So-called black people in America, we want the fruit. We want to eat the fruit. We want to enjoy life. Whereas you have the white folks who don't give a fuck about enjoying life. Their goal is not enjoying life. Their goal is to be on top, right? To be the best, to be better than you. And because of that, yes, it's at the bottom, it's at the top, it's all in between. And there are white folks and black folks who are complicit in the conspiracy, whether they realize it or not. Half them parents think they're right. They don't understand that they're being Karen. They really don't. You think my mother thought she was being a Karen? No.
No, you know what, that's the one thing.
I'm just going to tell you this one thing, and then I'm going to shut up. There was a time where I told my mother, my biological mother, I was 10 years old, and I had been living with her for about 10 months. And I told her I was done. Like, it was too much. She was drinking. She wasn't really present in my life. Like, I'm taking cabs by myself. I'm going to Rocky Horror Picture Shows and smoking weed at 10, okay? And I was like, I spent the weekend with my foster parents and my foster family for that weekend, which was a black home. I lived in a black foster home. And I came back, and I was just like, you know, I think I want to go back to live with my foster parents. I can't stay here anymore. I need discipline. I'm 10 years old telling this white woman I need discipline. And she said to me, right, and she said to me, I can't believe you're going back to live with those niggers.
What?
My own mother, whose vagina I slid out of, said that to me. So at no point in time have I ever been under the illusion that there is fairness or that a person is able to circumvent racism, because I experienced it on such an intimate level. So I hope that answers your question.
And more than does that, actually. I didn't actually plan on going down this particular avenue, but I'm so glad we did, because it gives us the idea, you know, because a lot of times when you see an artist, you really don't know what they've been through or what they've experienced or the type of things that happened to them, you know. You know, a lot of times, like, we don't get a chance because of celebrity, we like to believe that people are a certain way, like they're not human. You know, and I know some people who I have who are actually celebrities. You know, some of the most basic things they want to do is, I want to go and sit down in a restaurant and not be bothered. I want to eat my food in peace. You know, I want to go someplace, you know, with certain things without it being weird or people being weird towards you. And so, you know, with people who are entitled as it stands, you know, quick story, I remember my son was like, he was like, 1.5, and I was taking him on a train to his grandmother so I can go do a show. And she was in Queens, and I was taking a train from Long Island. And this woman got on the train and screamed at me about taking up seats. Now, my son is laying on one seat, and the conductor had already seen me, took my ticket, didn't feel any problem with it because I saw that I had basically a baby with me, and I had all his stuff on the thing, and she was screaming, "You can't do that! You can't!" And she sat there, and she was so angry, and I was stuck in this thing like, do I kill her because that's my son? You know, because you don't get to yell at me on my son. Or, no, like, you know, like, you have to make decisions because, you know, like, when you with your children, you don't really, I don't know, anybody, you can unmute your mics and tell me if I'm wrong, but when you're with your children, you have a certain response. Like, your response is to protect your child at all costs. And here is this woman screaming as if it was bloody murder because she wanted what I had in that moment. And her friend had to come and grab her and said, come on. You said, well, go ahead.
That's what I was talking about, because she thinks her rights supersede your rights.
Yeah.
That is my privilege.
On a whole different mental thing when it comes to your children. You want to be sensible and you want to be rational, but something kicks in
with your
natural instincts that makes you want, your animalistic side kicks in.
Yes.
That goes along with that fight or flight thing, and your survival tactics want to wrap your hands around their throat and shake the shit out of them. What the fuck is wrong with you? They got every right to sit in this seat as you do. So, yeah, you're right.
Because something in her told her that whatever I had didn't belong to me, it belonged to her, and I couldn't do whatever that was. She didn't know me from a can of paint. And so to see that, it was like, you know, I've always had weird experiences on trains, and I'm just like, you know, some dude, I remember I was sitting on the train, and some dude put his phone on top of my head, right? So when I seen it off my head, you feel like something touched you, like, because I had nodded off, but the phone was literally sitting on top of my head. And I slapped the phone off my head, right? And he's like, hey, that's my phone. I said, the fuck is it doing on my head, right?
Right.
He said, I need the charger. And I said, you stand and you use the charger. I don't you ever put anything on me, right? And so the thing that bugged me out was nobody spoke to him about the shit he did, but everybody was looking at me like I was crazy because I slapped the phone off my head. But let's get past that because it's not about me. It's about you tonight. I'm sorry. So let's get back.
No, it's okay. I try to stay away from these conversations because it always, like, make an energy deviate. But, I mean, it is a shared experience that we all have. And, you know, no matter what, Black folks need to understand that we are in this together. It does not behoove us whatsoever to allow them to create division. And we do it a lot ourselves, especially between Black men and Black women, which essentially is why I started the Kunani Poets, because I feel that we need to be family. We need to be family. We need to understand that Black men and Black women are the heads of the American family here. And we cannot allow bullshit to define us. We cannot follow Jesus and the Bible, which says the love of money is the root of all evil, and then define ourselves by how much money we make. It's ridiculous. It doesn't make any sense that you continuously allow white folks to define who you are. You have to understand. I feel like people are waking up now, though. But it's a game that they play to keep you divided. That's what it is. The first rule of war. I was in the army. The first rule of war is divide and conquer. If you cannot divide, you really cannot conquer.
Wow. So since we were talking about that, I'm going to skip the other questions I gave you. What's going on? I'm going to skip the motivation of your writing, because I want to revisit. I want to come back to that. But what I do want to ask you, as a founder, like the way that I see it, we all know there's historic people that we can point to and say, okay, this is a person who was a Black erotic creative. This person utilized this. This is how we viewed Black sexuality in this particular time period, everything else. But for you, what I'm saying as a poet, for me, as a founder of the Black erotic, poetic creativity that we've experienced on a national level. What was the response to the inception of the Punani Poets?
It was horrible.
Why was that?
I just fucking with you. It was horrible. It was, people thought, okay, so it was very, at least I need to put this in perspective, especially in a room where there are poets who've taken advantage of the fact that poetry is a mainstream medium now. At that time, it was 1995. I am 52. So y'all can do the math on how old I was at the time. But, you know, as a 20-something-year-old person, I really wanted to create the Punani Poets to create a conversation about Black love and Black sexuality as it related to the issue of the time, which was HIV. And I felt that Black women were going to be largely affected by HIV because at the same time, there was this big move to push Black men into jail for extended periods of time. And as you know, for example, in South Africa, when they did that, when they put, when they separated the family in South Africa, they put the men and the women apart from each other for a year or more at a time, and the men created relationships with each other, and they introduced, probably through drugs or whatever they were doing, HIV, and then that's how HIV became very prevalent in South Africa. So being a journalist, I knew this, and I was like, okay, so they want to lock these men up for long periods of time. They're going to start fucking each other, having relationships. It's going to be an influx of gay men, and now they have this disease, and Black women are going to get it. So at the time, it was very early, and people thought I was crazy. But as you see, this is what happened, and now you got a bunch of guys who are like girls and all of this. So I've watched all of this happen, you know, over the years. I did not expect people to be so against where I was coming from. I thought they would understand because, I mean, sex is the common denominator between all people. It's the one thing every human has in common. Either you're fucking somebody, you think about fucking somebody, you about to fuck somebody, you know, you want to fuck somebody. Like, you know, it's everybody fucks, like, in one way or another. And so I thought people would be open to receive this, but instead people felt like, because, especially because I did it on HBO, which they looked at as a white platform, they thought I was airing dirty laundry, talking about, you know, sex and AIDS. And people weren't ready to talk about AIDS at the time. There was a big taboo around it. There still is a stigma around it. So people weren't really ready. So the first big show I did the year after we came out on HBO was at the University of Colorado. And we had like 3,000 students at the show. But the Black Student Union had a picket line outside.
But why? Why did they have a picket line?
Because they felt that it was, I don't know, distasteful for a Black artist or Black artists, because there were like 12 people on the road with me. Like, it was a big-ass show. And they just felt like it was in bad taste to talk about Black sexuality adjacent to HIV, and also to turn poetry into something that is erotic, designed for titillation and stimulation. They felt that that was just tacky.
Wow.
And it continued. I tried to do a show at Howard University, which is where I went to college and where I learned about HIV. Like, the Alpha, don't get me started, at Howard, like, were hanging out at the gay club at the time. So I felt like, well, hell, this is where we really need to talk about it amongst the intellectuals and the people who are going to be successful, you know, because they have influence and we could talk about this. But nope, they weren't ready. So it's been largely, grassroots project that is supported by fans and donors and sponsors of my nonprofit organization, who get behind it and make sure that the work continues. So I've been able to tour, except for COVID. I was touring every single year since 1997.
Wow. That's big. That's major. That's major. So a general question, because we all know that HBCUs produce 80% of our black professionals, our doctors, our lawyers, our dentists, you know, coming out of specifically Howard, Hampton, you know, most of the black schools that we have. Do you believe that the conservatism that we grow up with from the black church communities and things of that sort have a tangible effect on how people see eroticism?
No, I don't think it's the conservatism. I think it is the, I want to pick the right word, the fuck, I got to stop smoking weed. When you say one thing and do another, hypocrisy. It's the hypocrisy.
Okay.
That's a problem. It's not, because every, like I said, everybody fucks. Preachers fuck. Preachers' wives fuck. The choir fucks. The choir director fucks. Like, it's fine to have a gay person in your church, for example, if he's the choir director because you want the best music. Like, they have a lot of double standards, and they accept things that are going to benefit them and reject things that have no benefit for them. And this is a problem. You have to be consistent. If you have a doctrine that you want to teach, you must be consistent in that doctrine. Now, if you come out and you say, okay, well, we're on the fence about this, or we're conservative when it comes to this, but not conservative when it comes to that, you have to state that. But because they follow
mm-hmm.
Christianity in its original form, like, you really can't do that. It's very impossible to say, I am a Christian minister, and also we
wow.
approve of homosexuality, but also we have a gay choir director. You know, and this is what happens in, really amongst the elite, because the elite of our community and the elite of America are often put in a position where they have to choose. It happens all the time, like all the time, right in front of our faces. We vote for shit that really, you might think you're voting for all dogs to be able to go to a kennel for free. But really, the kennel, there might be a foundation of kennels that want to be able to evaluate your dog and see if you're abusing them, and then take your dog from you. You see what I'm saying? There's always, in this society with white folks, it's always like a double meaning for stuff. You think that it's going to be a great thing. A good example is what's going on right now. For the ladies in the room, I'm going to tell you. There's two women who want to get I don't even know what the organization is called. There are two women right now who are lobbying to get the hair industry, or the rule makers of the hair industry, to approve a curriculum for braiding. Now, off top, that sounds like a good thing, right? Okay, there should be a curriculum. Like, you shouldn't burn the loose hairs after the braids. Okay, this is a rule or whatever. But by creating this rule, by signing up for the white man's program, you're literally stopping every person who doesn't have a license, who haven't been through this program, from making their money.
Wow.
It's loaded. The system is fucking loaded. I know that's a simple one, but it's a whole bunch of them that are going on right now. And you think you stand... Okay, here's a really good one. Right now, they have all these shootings and stuff, right? And it's a lot of kids doing the shootings. So you have all these black folks talking about, fuck that shit. we need to hold the parents accountable. They're saying that because a lot of the kids who are doing the shootings are white kids. This stuff that shows up in the media anyway. But as soon as they pass that law, guess who the fuck is going to jail?
Black kids.
Black parents. Black parents of badass kids are going to go to fucking jail if you think you're doing the right thing. Well, they present the media to you in a certain way so that you make these decisions. Just like with COVID, they create a demand. They make you responsible for the choices that fuck you.
Well, you know what? That goes in the same thing with whataboutism. The whole thing about, you know, the things that happened in Texas. And they're bringing up Chicago, you know, like literally, what about Chicago? I'm like, no, we're dealing with this situation. But I guess what they're trying to do in Chicago right now is that they're trying to literally classify some of those shootings as mass shootings, so that it changes the narrative, so it no longer looks like it's singularly white men that are doing most of these shootings, you know. Which is crazy to me. But what I do have to do, because I have to make sure that we get this whole thing, we have to do a promo, a station identifier to make sure we're doing everything, and then we'll come back and we're going to ask questions, and I'm going to open the floor so that people can ask questions, because I'm going to ask two or three more, because I want to make sure that, you know, we get to you and I ask you the essential questions I definitely want to know, because this is a fascinating conversation. But
I hope I didn't get too far off the topic.
Oh no. It's about no. Oh no.
Okay.
No, this is fascinating. It's not every day you really get to sit there and pick your brain and really, like, it's understanding. But what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to do a station identifier. So that we can move forward. So here we go.
You're listening to Epiphany Radio, the Real Entertainment Network. Your number one hit station in town. This is Radio.
Your number one hit station.
This is Sonny, and we're listening to Epiphany Radio. The For Real Entertainment Network. Peace, blessings, and one love. Entertainment Network. Peace, blessings, and one love.
Welcome back to Epiphany Radio here on the Epiphany Radio Universe, the For Real Entertainment Network, sponsored by Raw Links. Why be average when you can be raw? We are now here in the special Honey Dripper 2.0 special with the very incredible and dope Jessica Holter of the Punani Poets. So let me get into this question that I think that everybody would like to know. Once you were on HBO, how much did your popularity skyrocket after your appearance?
It was the quintessential moment for the Punani Project. I had been doing the project. I think I went on HBO It aired in 2000. They filmed it in 1999. But I had been doing the project for 4 years already. So that was the moment that the world actually heard about it. Before that, only people who read certain magazines like Rap Pages or whatever knew about it. I was a journalist, so I was able to get a lot of early press for the Punani Project. And my first book, Punani the Hip Hop Song, has poetry written by artists who were popular at the time, like Conscious Daughters, Dwayne Wiggins and Tony, Souls of Mischief, and people like that. So I had some local celebrity, but yeah, HBO made it open to the whole world. I am not mad.
With the doors being open, how far have you traveled with the Punani Poets as a stage play, as a production, as an event?
I think the furthest, like geographically, that we've gone with an actual show is maybe St. Thomas. We do the Virgin Islands, we do the Caribbean, and the United States. Mm-hmm. I have not done a full featured Punani show in Europe or Africa yet, or Asia.
Yes. Okay. Well, that's fantastic. Matter of fact, I'm glad, because you answered questions along the way. I don't know why I answered, because you was like, I tour it every year except for COVID. So how many shows do you think, like, if you can guess a number, how many shows do you think that was, that you performed in?
In all that time? Oh, my God. I have no idea. Because, I mean, I've been to some cities I play on a really regular basis. So, like, New York, I have a theater that I play all the time. And I might decide, okay, well, I'm going to go there and do like a 2-week residency and we'll play at that theater consistently every day. Well, not every day, but Wednesday through Sunday. It opens you up to like a lot of people. My average audience is probably 150 people. So there are 365 days in a year. I might do 100 shows. So that'll give you an idea.
Wow. All right, so.
Yeah, it's a lot of people.
All right, so
it's mostly people who are 30 and older, a lot of couples, and I have a lot of repeat clients, too. Like, we have a fan base, and we have a membership for our constant supporters who can just pay one time for the year and come to any show. So I have a lot of repeat clients and everything, but we also cross into different spaces. So most of my clients are just regular couples looking to add sparks to their romance and deal with some of their sexual issues, or intimate issues, I should say, because some of that stuff is not about sex. It's about recovering from sexual abuse. I do a lot of programs around that. But it's
okay.
Also, there are subsects. So, like, we have swingers. Some swingers will book a whole show. Like, I might say, I'm going to do a 10 o'clock show at the Producers Club in New York City on Friday night, and every person in the audience is part of that swingers group. We have women's groups. We have big girl groups, like BBW groups, who just come and book the whole theater out. And the good part is, because I'm very hands-on with my ticket sales and I respond to emails and things like that, I'm able to curate shows for particular groups. So now we're to the stage where, like, a swingers group might book us to do a show, and we're going specifically to perform for that group. That group can email me and ask me to include certain content in the show. It's very customized. Yes. You want to know what kind of questions they ask?
Yes, absolutely.
Number one question for the Punani Poet. So before we do our show, this is what y'all probably don't understand. It's not just a show that you sit down and watch. The Head Doctor Show in particular is a show that you participate in as an audience member. From the moment you buy your ticket, I will be emailing you, asking you stuff, including your questions that will be addressed at the beginning of the show. So the first 30 minutes of the Head Doctor Show is just me talking to the audience about questions that they have. Either they emailed them to me or they wrote them down on index cards coming in. The number one question, how can I get my partner to let me fuck them in the ass?
What?
Number one question. After that, how can I get my partner to, huh? What'd you say?
I said that's the number one question that they ask?
Yes. Yes, sir. Every state.
Wow.
No matter where I go.
Every state?
And I'm going to tell you where it comes from, though. That particular question comes from the porn industry. So I can tell, like, y'all just watching a lot of porn. I have a friend, Vanessa Blue. She's a porn star. You might know her. Chocolate. She's a friend of mine. She actually
I think I know her. Ben, you know who that is?
I sure do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Vanessa, she used to date Lexington Steele. They were living together, actually. But, yeah, she's a very cool sister, works behind the camera, has a really great story about how and why she became a porn star and everything. Like, I love her dearly. And one thing she told me very early on in my career, she was like, Jessica, you know, I didn't do anal, but the agency required it. They literally ushered in anal sex through the porn industry as a medium of, like, sexual gratification for heterosexual people. This literally created a lot of the HIV in our community because you have more nerve endings and blood cells or whatever around the anus thing. You do. The vagina is made for sex. It's made for penetration, created by nature for penetration, but the ass is not. The ass is made of muscle, strength, blood. You need the blood energy to push the feces out. So it's not made to receive a penis. It causes a lot of microscopic tears, which give HIV a direct entry into the bloodstream. So pushing the anal sex agenda into the heterosexual community, which had never been done, like, in the history of sexuality, that was not something that was pushed for straight women. Like, it's ridiculous. I'm going to tell you why it's ridiculous, because on top of the fact that it's dangerous for women to do this, men have a prostate gland. Women do not have a prostate gland. And what I mean by that is, for the women who are listening, men have what is equivalent to a clitoris in their ass. Women don't have that. So the only thing that would make you excited or lubricated in any type of way from anal sex is a lubricant or the fluid that you have in there that pushes out the feces or whatever, but it's not, like, it's not a thing. There's nothing. Your clitoris is in the front. There's nothing about anal sex that actually is for the gratification of women. The clitoris is the heart of the woman when it comes to sexuality. It is the heart of the woman, and too many of us engage in sexual activity that is designed for the gratification of men. You don't see porn videos that even focus on the clitoris in any way, yet the clitoris is the only part of any human body that is designed completely and entirely for pleasure. Every other sexually stimulated orifice of our body has another function. So the mouth, you know, is for eating and all that. The breasts are for nursing. You see what I'm saying? The butt is for defecating. But the clitoris only has one function, to give you pleasure. Yet it is the most ignored part of the human body when it comes to pornography. It did not take much for them to realize that this industry is not for women. I created the Porn Poet as a stimulant, a sexual stimulant, and an educational theatrical experience for women and then their partners.
So have you ever seen that TikTok
video? Boom, you're the
first.
Don't get deep like that, right?
No, hey, listen, I'm here for it. I'm here for it all.
Hey, look,
I mean,
as fellow woman, you know, thank you.
You are welcome. You are welcome. So even against people saying, oh, you a nasty girl, whatever, I don't give no fuck. This is a mission. I'm on a mission because too many women agree to sexual activity that has nothing for them. Only they're thinking about paying their rent. They're thinking about getting them new shoes or that new handbag or that weave or whatever. They don't think about their own enjoyment and pleasure. And that is really what this is about. You know, over the years, I've invited many people, some of which have different ideas than I do. But that's okay because this is about education and I'm learning too. So within the Punani Poets, you have poets and you have dancers. But that's the core group. We also have a yoga teacher, a massage therapist. We have a sexologist. You can learn from the yoga teacher, for example, which organs connect to which emotions. So you understand, if you're an angry motherfucker, you probably going to die from kidney failure because anger is connected to the kidney. You want to know why you can't be
young? Wow.
It's because he got a big-ass dick, and the tip of the dick is connected to the heart chakra. So the bigger the dick, the deeper he strokes, the more sprung your ass is going to be. That's science. It's science. That's why you can't leave. But you learn how to work your clit, ladies. You have more power, more control, because you're not at the whim of some guy who's like deep stroking you. You actually know how to bring your own pleasure down. You can make more sexual, intellectual choices.
Okay. So I'm going to pause right here because I do have people here in the queue, and I'm going to take 10 minutes worth of questioning from the people. Please curtail your questions to you know, less than 30 seconds of asking and everything else. But I'm going to open the floor up to ask questions. And the mic is open. Please feel free to ask some questions. Please don't make them personal. Not telling you now. I just got to lay the rules down just for that. But I trust everybody here, so I believe that everybody. Yes.
Can I just interject real quick and say, what an amazing job you're doing. I'm really enjoying this, sir.
Thank you. You have no idea the type of anxiety.
This is wonderful. You guys have done a great job. Like, thank you for letting me really speak freely. I appreciate it.
No, it's important. I'd much rather know, like, your motivations. Like, I was going to ask you, I said, hey, what motivates you? But you literally sat here and told her, like, you knocked out so many questions just in your regular conversation.
I told you I was a journalist.
I didn't really
for real.
Yeah, no, for real. But, you know, like, yo, because you was like, send me the bullet points. I was like, here's the bullet points. I was like, don't let it get too personal. But I just wanted to make sure that. But it just gives me, like, you know, I get the warm fuzzies because literally how you think and what you believe is a lot of what, you know, some of us who are in this field, who are operating, doing a lack of erotic creativity, we experience some of similar things where people are very conservative or they don't like what it is that you're doing because there's a certain type of freedom that we have in being ourselves and being able to operate in our own truth. So, you know, I applaud you for being the vanguard and a trailblazer for us, but let me stop talking. let me open the floor up so that people can ask questions so that they can ask you, and then we're going to get to this poetry. All right, so, ladies and gentlemen, the floor is open. Who would like to ask a question first?
I don't have a question, but I do want to commend you. We need this knowledge. A lot of people don't know about things that you were speaking about. They don't understand that about the human anatomy and the connections that it has to our emotions. A lot of society wants us to dismiss our emotions when it is a part, it's a major part of our makeup and how we function. So I want to thank you for that. And another thing about the real important thing is the anal sex. A lot of men will use that as a manipulative tactic to control their women. They will tell them, if you don't do it, then somebody else is going to do it. Everybody does it. And a lot of these women don't understand. They don't know. You don't have to do that. That was meant for excretion only, literally. This thing,
that part.
I was listening to everything that you were saying, and about it was basically any activity as far as insertion was for the pleasure of a man because of the way it is designed back there. And it's just, damn, I lost my train of thought. But it'll come back to me. I applaud you. Thank you. I'm an avid researcher myself, and I know a lot of what you were saying is true.
Thank you so much. I have to thank the hit team and Ami Brown for that, because, whoa.
Yeah. It's great to hear somebody else speak on it that is educated in it as well, because a lot of people look at me like I'm crazy when I start talking like that. But I just want to thank you. I commend you for that. It's awesome.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay. Do we have any more questions?
Ms. Holter, this is Lisa Liz. I'm curious as to how are you?
Good.
I'm curious as to how you built your troupe in the beginning. Because you started in the late 90s and sexuality wasn't something that was talked about a lot. So how did you build the troupe in the beginning?
It really wasn't that hard because the first book is an anthology, Kunani the Hip Hop Song, the original book, which you can only get like from collectors now. They have it for like, bro, I can't even afford my own book. It's like $300 or $400 on eBay. But that book, the original book, includes like a lot of the entertainers that I was doing interviews with and stuff when I was a journalist. And so it kind of had legs of its own because everybody in the book kind of had something going on, which is how I build my project now. Like I find people like, you know, Tiara or I don't know, like different people who kind of have their own following. Like Ebony Amore is touring with me now, but she's I was working with her before she became an OnlyFans model and performer. But she's doing that now, so she has like hundreds of thousands of followers and everything for what she does. I've worked with Nikki Morgan, who is a sexologist who does touchless orgasms. You know, they bring their own following from the very beginning. So it's been kind of easy. And the fact that sex is a common denominator, like people want to know about sex, even if they don't want their friends and family to know that they care about sex, they do.
Yeah. Our stories have a lot of similarities, with the exception that I was raised by a minister. So when I decided I wanted to write about sex, I thought they were going to throw holy water on me.
You know, I already...
Not the holy water.
I already had my opinions that were founded in some bad things that prevented my parents from really giving me shit. But my father molested me, but he was chairman of the deacon board at my church where I was becoming a youth minister. I'm actually an ordained minister. know the Bible inside and out and all of that. But what I know is Christians fuck too.
Very true. Very true.
Children, Christians lie, Christians cheat, Christians do all the things everyone does. And if it wasn't important to the masses, it should be important to Christians above all, because they live in a space of judgment. So this is why you need to know the truth about things, because you want to be able to judge. You can't judge without education on the topic.
Yeah, and I used to have a problem with the sisters in the church that were telling me how I needed to live. Meanwhile, they had 8 kids and no husband.
Oh,
wow.
Wow.
All right. Is there anyone else that would like to ask a question?
Yeah, I have a question. This is Jonah Rebel. Can you hear me?
Oh,
who's
that?
Yeah,
Joe. Go ahead, Joe.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, Ms. Coulter, has your style changed over the years since you first started, as far as delivery and content? Has your style changed?
Me? Oh, okay. So in the beginning, before I launched the Punani Post, I already had it like on paper as a project, but as a personal, like on a personal level, as a poet, my stage name is Ghetto Girl Blue, which for a long time I didn't even have a stage name. I just kind of, the guy at the open mic was like, you need a stage name. So I kind of gave him one, but the stuff that I was working out at that original show, which was Blue Candle in Oakland, California, which is where I'm from, was, like, very personal. Like, I built a fan base on my politics, like the stuff I'm talking about y'all tonight. But Punani Poets, I couldn't just do that, because people don't come to Punani shows to hear, like, the shit I'm talking about tonight. Like, I sneak it in. But they don't come for that, you know what I mean? So my original poems, like The Head Doctor, my first published poems are The Head Doctor, Daddy Sam, and something called Punani Dream. So The Head Doctor is like, I won't lie, I don't lie, I get good head, you know? It is designed to titillate and stimulate, and I was doing that poem in parking lots, whispering it in people's ears while I'm giving them a flyer, asking them to buy tickets to this show that nobody ever heard of, you know. But today, with my fan base being pretty solid, I can go into a venue that might even be meant for erotica, but I can slip in some of my politics. And so today I sound more like, I want my mouth to speak nothing but praise when speaking of you, my beautiful black Messiah. You see?
I got you. Yeah, I like that. I like that. Thank you.
Okay. We can take one more question. Ben, do you have a question? Rare Epiphany, do you have a question? Honey Dip, do you have a question?
I did, but she actually, I had a question, but she actually just answered it. So it was about how, whether or not it became, or it was difficult to get people to see you past the erotica, to get the message beyond the erotica, but
yes,
the answer, when you said that, how it kind of changed into, that morphed into the way you present what you present, that the fan base makes it easier to slip the politics in to that kind of arena. So you answered the question. I love it. Great.
Yeah, but more to the point of your question, I just want to say, because the way you posed it was different, so my answer is a little different, which is, we as women, I'm a woman before I'm anything, even before I'm a foster kid, even before I'm a wife, a mother, and all that, I'm a woman. And living this life as a woman means you have to find out what people around you want. whether it's your kids, your husband, your wife, your community, your employer, whoever. So the Punani Project has had legs because I answer to the fans. I answer to what they're looking for, and I change with the seasons depending on what the topic is. When I introduce anal sex, the men, some of the men have to leave the room. Like, they didn't leave the show, but they left the room, and I gave them an option to leave the room. I'm like, we're about to talk about the prostate, and if anybody wants to go to the bar right now, you can. But I keep it real direct like that, the way a wife would, the way I am a wife to the fans of the Punani Poet. So I engage in that way. But I'm no different from every other woman. You make concessions as a woman in your life. So I appreciate you asking that question because that's something I really wanted to say. You make concessions. You learn how to make concessions, and that's the difference between the wife and the side chick. Side chicks don't make concessions.
So, thank you.
Okay. I'm going to run the station identifier just so we know one more time, and then away we go. While we're doing that, two quick questions. What is the wildest show that you've ever done? Nani.
Okay. And then, sexually wild or just crazy shit happening?
Whatever you want to do. Whatever you want to do.
No, I want to know which one.
However you
want to
do it. I'm saying for the Punani Poet, whatever is the wildest show that you can imagine. And then also, how do you feel about the erotic poetry landscape now as it stands nationally? Right, but let me do
wait. How
this.
Do I feel about how erotic poetry is now?
Yes.
Okay.
But I'm going to run. I'm gonna, wait. Hold
okay,
on.
First
I'm
gonna answer
the
second question. But first I'm gonna answer
okay.
the second question.
Well, I'm gonna run the I gotta run the station identifier.
Okay.
You know,
I understand.
Off the top and then. All right, so real quick, I'm gonna run it, and away we go. Okay, welcome back to 50 Radio Universe. I'm your host, Mojave. We are having a special edition of the Honey Dripper 2.0 featuring the very wonderful and incredible Jessica Coulter of the Punani Poets. Okay, and we just asked her some questions beforehand. We're going to get to the questions, and then we're going to get to some poetry because, you know, it wouldn't be right unless we did that. So the second question, you said you wanted to answer first. So.
Okay, what was
how
the
do you feel
question?
About erotic? The second question was,
okay.
How do you feel about
okay, this is no offense, like, to anyone who is in line, because I don't know what you got, what you do, how you bring it. You know, I honestly thought that if people did, like, pick up on the art form, because at the time there wasn't an erotic, a black erotic spoken word art form that was available in events, you know, in live exchanges. There was one book that had come out at that time. If you look it up, you probably won't see a book before that. That book was called Black Erotica. It was definitely pivotal.
I'm very familiar.
Yeah, it was very pivotal for me at the time because it was fresh. I think it had been out a year when I conceived the Punani Project, and I wanted to make it different, and then Eazy-E died of AIDS, and I was like, I got my thing. Because AIDS was a big deal, sex was a big deal, and black men were being imprisoned by the droves. Like, it was crazy. So I was a little haughty about it in my way of thinking. Like, I was thinking, this is erotica, but this is, oh my God, it's so intellectual. Like, I was really, like, on a different page. And at the time, I did not really have any vulgar erotica. I eventually signed a deal with Zane to do a book. I have a book, a novel that is an erotic novel, which was very difficult for me to write because I really don't, like, erotica is the least of what I write. That's what people don't understand. Like, if you come to my show, you might see me do two, maybe three pieces. It's mostly, like, dance and other poets performing within a program that I designed that involves, like, kissing competitions and love confessions, foot washing. It's a, you know, romantic experience that elevates the sexuality. So I look sexuality and interpersonal communication between lovers. That's really what I do, so that people don't cheat, so people don't lie, so people feel free to say, hey, sometimes I like it in the bud, whatever. So it surprised me that I had done that, and then people started doing erotica that was really just very braggadocio about the size of their dick and all that. I just thought I was setting a precedent. So sometimes I'll sneak into an open mic or something, and I'll just sit through, like, as much as I can, but it can be difficult because I don't think they really get that part. But who am I to say what the expression of black erotica is? So at 52, I look at it very differently than I did at 40. At 40, I was kind of judgmental. But now I'm like, you know, you have to change with the times. You have to understand the conversation that people are having with one another. The fact that people meet online, they don't even know each other. I have to trust that they're not going to be killed when they show up. That wasn't a thing when I was young. You didn't just show up at some dude's house. You know, so times have changed. As far as the second question, okay. I mean, the first question. Crazy stuff that has happened at show. Oh, my God. I have so many. I don't even know where to begin. I have two that I'm going to talk about tonight. The first one is I was doing a show in D.C. at a hotel, and for some reason, this old dude, I say he was about 70, white dude, shows up at the show, like, all by himself. Like, what? I was really worried about him the whole night, and I don't know why. It was like I just felt some type of way, like, why is this dude here? Sometimes when white people show up at my show, and it's usually a white guy all by himself. I don't know if he's coming there to pick up black women or if he's from the IRS or something. I don't know. But this particular guy was so old. I was just like, what the fuck? So I was kind of worried about him, but I had planted sometimes I plant artists in the audience so people don't expect it. So, like, I have, like, a bum who's sitting in front of the venue at the beginning harassing people for money, but she's actually part of the show. This particular night, I had a girl who just looked like a school teacher and her glasses and everything, but she was a stripper. So she comes up on stage and she grabs that guy to do a lap dance on. And I said, don't have a heart attack now. This man had a heart attack.
Oh, Jesus.
He had a heart attack. I was worried, and I did not. And, you know, like I said, in my 40s, I wasn't exact. Now I'm different. I'm very mature. But at the time, like, I didn't understand the power of energy, the power of words, the power of just everything that you can't see in a moment. Not that I'm claiming responsibility for what happened, I think I was given insight that this man was not healthy enough to do the routine, but I didn't follow it. I actually went in the opposite way of it and invited him onto the stage when she picked him out. And I said the words, like, don't have a heart attack. And the man had a heart attack, and the, you know, ambulance had to come and everything. He was okay. He didn't die, but, yeah, that shit was scary. So that was probably the craziest thing when that ends the things. And then there was another time I did a show in Detroit at, what is that place called? Baker's Keyboard Lounge. It's a very intimate, like, jazz or blues club. Jazz and Blues Club, and the theater part is in the back, so it's very close proximity to everyone, and there was a very high energy of sexuality going. I had a couple of dancers, and, you know, people were drunk, and it's a bar, so people were drunk and horny. So I invited a woman onto the stage for the head doctor routine, which comes towards the end of the show and involves three audience members, and she pulled my breath out of my shirt and latched onto my nipple with her teeth. And
what?
Security was trying to pull her off of my nipple, and it hurt so bad for like a week.
Oh, yep. My gosh.
She was drunk. Like, I mean, you know, you have to, like, understand, like, that you don't understand everything that you're doing and saying and how that affects a person, when, which takes me back to question number two. When you're talking about sexuality, how it actually affects a person, you do have to be responsible for that, or you or somebody else might get hurt. Like, who's to say I do a show? Like, one guy, so this wasn't part of the show, but there was a guy who, I don't know, like, he wasn't a fan. I wouldn't say a fan, but he was a follower. And he was a virgin, an adult virgin. In his 20s, like 27 or something, like, and still hadn't had sex with a woman, and kept texting and calling my intern saying that he was going to show up to the New York show, and I didn't understand, Jessica Holter doesn't understand what she's doing to people. I'm going to show her what she's doing to people when she comes to New York, like, literally threatening us. But my dancer is also, the male dancer, Sloan, is also a cop. So we ended up telling him that, so he didn't show up to the show. Like, it was crazy, though. Like, I didn't know what this dude was going to do. But you have to be careful when you're talking about sensitive things. You know, sex, mental health, race, all those things are very, very touchy subjects. You have a lot of people out here who are crazy, who have not dealt with their issues, who might want to take those issues out on you to make a point. So, yeah, you know, that shit was crazy, too.
Well, I'm sorry. That's out of this world.
In two different cities, people cut off locks of my hair.
What? Nah,
yeah.
That's, nah, I don't even play. Nah, that's
swear
not
to God,
that's,
in
that's,
two different cities, Boston
they,
and New York.
They was trying to practice a little something, something.
Cut off locks of my hair. I went to do my hair. I was like, oh, my God, I'm missing a whole. And it was funny because the first time I felt it. Second time I didn't feel it. But the first time, it was like a plug on the right side in the back of my hair missing. But I felt it when she did it. So, like I said, you know, crazy shit happened. But you put yourself out there, and it's what it is. I wasn't mad. You know, hey.
Wow. Training in the background. All right. Well, listen, we have some incredible poets to do some poetry for you. But, of course,
okay,
us being here, we would love to hear you spit a poem if you're inclined. You don't have to, no pressure, if you'd like to do so.
You mean now or after?
Oh, I mean now. You're the guest of honor.
I want my mouth to speak nothing but praise when speaking of you, my beautiful black messiah. I want to be the key to the rusty cage that imprisons black love. Mutiny. I want to love you as I love my own hand, with necessity, with appreciation, with respect, in the bedroom, in the boardroom, in the street, and at the table, give you respectable representation, expecting only truth of you and never fearing it. I want to be a queen who makes you proud, too. One who makes you understand that making love to me is among your most noble deeds. In me, your seed is not wasted, but saved, manifested before it is measured and devoured, broken down and regenerated on all my tongue and through my womb in the game of your school as historic files of your pedigree. To work out the kinks of my trying childhood socialization and inferior education with you, share fantasies and dreams, make plans to follow through, verbally arrest you before working the kinks back into our hair, sit down and cool in our sweat. Want to be the champ in your railroad song and go the distance of the track with you, like the Panthers insist, like Montgomery bus drivers persist in the taking of our destiny into our own hands. I want to be the revolution in your black fist eye. I want to be the revolution in your black fist.
Ladies and gentlemen, please unmute your mics for a round of applause to Jessica Halter.
I forgot all of you.
Bravo, bravo.
Amazing. Absolutely.
Thanks, guys.
All right, so we're gonna start get this rolling, and by way of Atlanta, I'm going to bring in Honey Dip. Honey Dip, are you there?
I am in here.
Hey, Honey Dip.
Okay.
Hi. How are you? How are you feeling after everything?
I'm good.
Good.
The mic is yours.
Hello?
For me?
Yeah, we're trying to hear you.
Okay, give me just a moment, okay?
Okay.
Okay. So in the meantime, in between time, while we're waiting, can you tell us about HIP?
Yes, thank you for asking. So HIP is Hold Her Intellectual Property. I'm 52, like I said. I don't know how long I'm going to last. So I wanted to set up a nonprofit organization so that all my work, all my intellectual property, including my books, my plays, my music, and audio files, and projects that I've created for the community will be able to live on after I'm dead. And it is basically a library for the community and a resource center for anyone who is looking to take any of our courses or classes or get free tickets to the show or get involved in any of our projects. So besides Punani Poets, I have Voices of Foster Care, which is an oratory program, teaches kids how to do public speaking, oratory, to build up their confidence, and there are spinoffs of that that offer life and work skills. So we have members of our project who do different things. So there's a coffee shop, there's a women's group, there's a radio program, and they all like want to do different things. There's my son is involved, and he wants to teach children, like young people who are aging out of foster care, how to be barbers. So, yeah, those are the type of projects you want to get involved in. So, like, if you have a skill, you want to teach some foster kids, we have a program for that. You can, like, follow the steps and connect with the city so you can get grant money for it. And It's a consortium of artists and business people and philanthropists that want to help foster kids, pretty much.
That sounds wonderful. Honey,
it's
Dip, are you ready?
Good, right? Because when you age out of foster care,
sounds great.
Man, you have nothing.
I think I'm going to come back. I'm going to put that in the parking lot and come back. Honey, Dip, are you ready?
I'm sorry. I'm trying to pull this up, but my laptop is acting great right now.
Okay, so we'll return to you. Take your time.
Okay, thanks.
I got you. When you're ready, just let me know. Lisa Lips, are you ready?
I am.
Mic is yours.
Okay, this piece is called "Is This Seat Taken?" Excuse me, sir, but is that seat taken? I mean, that one just below your nose on that saddle you call a beard. See, I've been traveling a long time, and I haven't had a seat in months now. So if your seat is available, can I mount it and bless you with these heavenly waters? I promise I'm not aiming to drown, but this tide hasn't surged in a moment. So let me apologize in advance if it becomes overwhelming. But once the floodgate is lifted, I have no control. So if you die, you just die. But you will go baptized in these holy waters, and I can't see why you won't wake up in glory. So again, I'm asking you, fine, sir, is this seat taken? I'm Lips, and you've just been serviced.
Well, I cannot with you. Oh my God.
Okay.
Now, let me qualify my original statement with saying, "Some about it is pure entertainment. Like, you're not trying to spread no particular message. You just having a conversation, and I fucking love it. That was great."
Thank you.
Phenomenal.
Yeah. Wow.
Phenomenally nasty.
So,
I love it.
Absolutely.
He said, I love Absolutely. It. Absolutely. Yeah. She's brilliantly filthy. Danielle, La Perla Negra, do you have a piece to share?
Yes. I do. Let me get to it. Hold on 1 second. My tablet is
okay.
This is Honey Dip, and I'm ready after the next
She's ready. Let her go.
Matter of fact, come on, Honey Dip. Let's go. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, the mic is yours.
Magic. The way you navigated through life, you never noticed how much time we spent passing. Or even dealing with people feeling one way and to find us putting them before us reminds me of Grammy-nominated actor. Action. I couldn't help but make it up on the back end back then. Since then, I've been adjusting to the corner I've been backed in. See, I remember back when things were simple. Until hurt people, and it's just the fact is he then traced the static that's passed through my spine, of it, making movies, and he casted his very own actress. Then I wanted to D&D, so he had no choice but to bear witness to the honeypot being overdipped in. Triggered his sleep, and then just like that, he found himself back in. Blowing my back in, and as my sweet nectar drips down his face, damn, he found himself falling to his back in. I'm so used to being used. I am poison. You started to get sick because I drank my essence and because of the bulk of your lips, and that's some young toxic shit. like taking all of you inch by inch within each fraction. Your veins aligned with my walls as you pushed back in, packing, never lacking. My mind lost in the trance of your action. Apple Watch tracking the sound of clapping. Now I'm matching the choke and stroke. Got this booty bounce and I'm breathless. Speechless. Gasping for the last bit of your essence as you cream inside my peaches. To capture your soul one last time, trapped in the truth of your lies. You ask and ask, is this pussy mine? But you know it is. It's evident when my body responds to yours by the way it drips. Drip. 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 I'm so used to being used. By this divine scripture you use to abuse my cherries as they harden, peeking out to surrender to your voodoo. It's sinful nature, mixing torture with pleasure. But the pain endured by the deepening of your stroke just makes my pussy wetter. Yeah, I'm a masochist. And you still make it look like it's magic. So let's rise together while watching the morning sun as my head rocks back and back and forth until you make me come.
Well, damn.
Hoocha.
Are you a Scorpio?
It's the voice and the flow. It's everything for me. That was, oh, Lord. Okay.
I'm a Virgo.
And I got to go behind that.
You'll be all right.
All right, LeBron, nigga.
I'm like,
oh, my. All right. This is called Incessant Unpleasant Remove. Allow me to taste you. If I had that one pleasure tasting you, just one sip of you off my lips, the intensity of your flavor would render me speechless, motionless. Allow me to taste you, because it would be like nectar from Neptune, causing a mixture of cosmic intergalactic orgasms through and through. Sweet to the taste, as if rinsed in the purest water is marinated in honey, like drips of rich, sweet peaches and pineapples onto my tongue, as if God himself created the flavor just for me. Oh, so many ways and names of how you taste, you just taste. Too good to describe. I want to taste you melt away your issues of the day across my lips, over my tongue, and dissolve right down my throat. And with a glance of eye contact turning into that infinite stare, I want my aura to live in your scent. Baby, when we are skin to skin, body to body, breathing in, caressing our nature, we will sweat passion, imprinting the scent of us in tangled sheets, tightly gripped bedposts and headboard stained with fingerprints. Allow me to taste you until all the incessant unpleasant or removed. That's that piece.
Not that thick. Wait a minute.
Y'all go down here.
Come on.
Lord have mercy.
She said, that bitch.
Just in here with
what?
It.
What?
Just in here. Just being filthy with it. Just being filthy with it. We shall proceed and continue to rock the mic. Mr. Van Meadows, a.k.a. Poetic, do you have a piece for us this evening?
I sure do.
Oh,
the mic is yours, sir.
Thank you. This piece is called Appointed Fetish. I really don't know if I can call this a fetish, but allow me to release this. My sexual desire and gratification is linked to your extreme pleasure, and I'm present and accounted for to reassure that I'm not done until you come. Over and over again. So after your first cream or squirt, don't say when, because I'm going to ignore that shit until your toes curl or your eyes roll and twirl. Maybe until your lips are quivering, even when your legs are shaking. It will be like I'm your very own personal fetish guru. And it's true. Once I learn your body and the things you like me to do, I will forever enjoy licking, sucking, touching, tasting, penetrating each part of you, at least till you call me daddy. Can we try some new things, baby? That's when we get kinky. I mean extra, extra freaky. Swings, restraints, and other toys. Because I'm trying to have my kink match my fetish so we both can enjoy. Oh, you like to be decorated like my dessert. I got all kinds of fruit and whipped cream, but my dick I will insert. After I enjoy using my tongue to taste your flavor with all the other ingredients, but you open your mouth wide for my natural nutrients. Oh, you like to swallow. Spread your legs so I can follow, because I need you to come for the second, third, fourth time. That's about when we lose count, because you squirt so good it's like filling a glass of wine. Except my beard, my tongue, my lips will be the orgasmic recipient of that luscious drip, just like golden honey, sweet as pineapple juice. Ooh, and honey, you taste so damn delish. You, baby, are my fetish. Poem.
Okay.
I have questions.
That was me. This brand, Miss
Factory.
Like, what? What are y'all talking about?
Yes, sir. That's all I need to
say. I just love that. Well, people just call to me all the time.
Yes.
Well. We shall proceed and continue to rock the mic. She comes to me as a rare epiphany. Rare epiphany, are you there?
Hey, I am. I'm trying to get up on the floor after being tore up and you're staying.
Rare?
It's my pleasure.
Wait, hold it. Yeah, I think I know what happened. So rare epiphany. No, it's not me.
Because you are white.
Like, what? No. All right. So, I'm sorry. We have a lot of jokes on this network, Ms. Holter. And one of the biggest jokes is that I've passed out and I've fallen asleep during the show, and they never let me forget it. So the first time I hear anybody that sounds like they're sleeping, they always think it's me, no matter what it is. So, and it's,
oh, wow.
Well, it's not, it's the word libido.
Yeah, listen, you know what? This is not the time for that. Rare Epiphany, are you ready?
Yes, sir, I am.
All right. The mic is yours.
Thank you. He wanted to get lost in me and still be in control at the same time. So I wrapped him in my chocolate dive, looked into his eyes and spoke away the lies of the day with the truth of our silence. Breathed inside as he moved inside of me, slowly, arduously, filling my depths while feeling my wet. He licks a single bead of sweat from my neck and I let go so that he knows when at the throes of a bad day, when he has no say or no one who wants to pay attention or lend an ear, he is Lord and Master here. That there is no fear of where he will lead me. I will just follow each command of his lips and every mandate of his hips. Trust completely in each thrust. And it's a must because I am the future that binds up the breach between present darkness and a future built on the brightness of a promise of better days. I will love the hard times away with each rotation and arch of my back. Attack any lack of self-confidence with this evidence of its presence inside him while he's inside me. 360 degree the power of his stroke into a language of moans that can be spoken to any broken parts of his soul. He will loose in me his chaos, and I will lose control for him, on him, around him, surrounding him in the fluidity of what it means to be welcome again and again.
Lord.
Well,
hello.
Again,
again.
You got to put on the freeway wet sign. I done busted mine.
Yes.
I'm trying to figure out where my drawers went. Anyway. Besides the point.
They're in the dryer.
There,
ooh, yeah, yes. That,
yeah. All right. So let me open up Mike. Joe, are you there?
Yes, sir.
All right, Joe. The mic is yours.
Cabin by the Lake, inspired by Natalie Marie. It was a week of relaxation away from the city. Gone were the sounds of sirens and screams, the stench of beggars and heavily perfumed leeches. She had to get away. She needed this break. She drove the familiar road every summer, and every summer was the same. She'd swim, bathe in the sun, share a laugh or two. Her only child was with her, plucking her nerves. It was his job, that's what he does. He could not see the loneliness in her. The absence of love gave her a pain so deep, he was too young to understand what desires laid in the depths of his soul. Night fell with a chilling cold. Her body was hot and burning with desire. She wished he would go to sleep. It was a crescent moon that night. Not a soul for miles, but chirps and croaks and annoying mosquitoes tasted her more. There was no man to feel her need. Then she looked in on her son. He finally laid rest his youthful mind. She walked to her luggage, pulled out a pink teddy. She held it up to her figure, twisting left and right, tired of one-night stands and inebriated romance. With minds that were never there. She touched herself, muffling her moans. Slowly she disrobed. She stood naked, admiring what so many failed to see. The night sky would have that pleasure. She raised her arms up as the teddy draped her body. the sheer fabric allowed the peak of dark nipples. There were fuzzy slippers on her feet as she walked out into the night. Imaginary hands began to caress deep inside her wetness. She let go of the city, the pain, the stress. She let go of the cry so vile it silenced the woods. She began to walk blindly into the bush. Fantasies of nightmen filled her mind. A stray branch caught her garb, carrying it. "Please don't," she cried, as if being taken. She never heard the radio broadcast to be out on the lookout. She was caught up in the rapture of her own sensory leaves. A small craft approached, stealthily hugging the tree line for cover. An escaped criminal who claimed his innocence was near her form. A snapped branch led her eyes to this ominous figure. He grabbed it quickly, having watched her nightly pleasures. He wanted in, but knew his claim of innocence would be for naught. "Silence," he said, "not a word, I won't harm you." Yet he looked upon a figure and with wanting eyes. She fell back against the tree as if held against her will. He sensed her sweet flesh exposed in tattered shears. Ready to be explored, ready to be had, he ran his callous fingers through her hair. She turned her head to avoid his eyes, eyes that pierced her soul. Fear began to turn into want. She slowly opened her legs, inviting his touch. She dreamt of it so often, and so often it was brutal. Watching her in trembling sweat, there was a gentleness in him. So much so, she placed his hand between her thighs and said, "Please don't," once more. He read her desire. Deeper his fingers went in, bringing waves of orgasmic relief. She grabbed his wrist, pushing down his hand. She wanted a brief escape, only to be caught again. She ran for a moment, only to lose one slipper and feign a fall. From behind, he grabbed her. She positioned herself for entry. He played his role well. The silent director held his scepter deep within. She came to his order as they played one final scene, his escape. What had only been a fantasy became real. She stumbled out of the woods, feeling she'd been ravished by a stranger. She eased back into the cabin, looking in on her son, praying she wouldn't have to explain. Thank God he was asleep. She gathered some food, even a little money, directing him to freedom. The sun rose quickly amid her smile. Her son woke up shortly after. They played and swam in the cool waters of the lake. The city had taken its toll. She was taken in the night. The radio was on and an all-point bulletin was lifted. They had caught the man not 50 feet from the facility where he was being held. Was it all a dream? Rest in peace. Thank you.
I love a good
story.
Nice,
too. Real nice.
Oh, perfect. Good. Yes. Very nice. Very nice.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
The verbal mind dancer. Okay.
Joe always carries you up to her.
Thank you, Lisa.
So, we're going to make sure. So, coming in. Came late to the party, but he's here, and we're glad that he's here. Walking Erotica, are you there?
Good evening. How y'all doing?
Oh, we in trouble.
What's good,
now?
Brody?
Damn.
I'm good now. Feel like home. Yeah.
Yeah, hold on. Let me put on a seatbelt. Wait a minute.
Shit, please, I can't sit still now.
We ready.
I was about to say, I know y'all heard that.
Take off his shirt
in.
Yet?
Yeah,
we heard him. He even take his shirt off. Okay.
Walking around.
Well, listen, all right. So
Yeah.
Are you ready? Are you ready, Walker Rock?
Yeah.
The mic is yours.
Hey, well, let's rock. Appreciate you.
Thanks to us now.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, Lord. I'll get there when I get there. I'm sorry. I know you're tired. I know you're fatigued and exhausted. But hang in there. I'm proud of you. Just breathe. Take your time. Squeeze my hand. Look at me, baby. You're about to deliver another orgasm to me. And I want all of them. I'm lying. I'm going to take all of them. Through every stroke and shiver, you will give me every single one. I slide down a little bit. I don't want you getting a cramp in your neck or getting a concussion either. Allow me to continue to decode and rewrite your understanding of this mainframe. Stroke you 3 times so I can wake your body, mind, and spirit up and jump down your mountain to your waterfall just to say good morning. Suck your pussy lips gently and kiss your clit purposely. That's right. Grind to me. Now let me know you want more of this soul taken and cleansed by my salivating vacuum. Grip my head and pick the position you want to punish me with. I lock into place while you have your own way with my face. And I pace. Damn right, grind the shit out of my tongue and break my nose. Bitch, you earned this. Climax down and drown me with your infinite ocean and take enough of my life until you are satisfied. With me. That's my girl. Now let me blow my nose, wipe my face a little bit, and lotion your cum into my dick. Now allow me to do you. Let me climb on top of you and sit my thick rod on top of your flower as I latch onto your left nipple and help myself. Your milk runs through my soul and gives me the adrenaline to bless who gave me the reason. And that's you. Slide myself inside of you and kiss you for every inch that runs in and out of you. Slow strokes and light kisses causes intense feelings and wrenching clenches as you involuntarily kegel around you. I like that shit. Leak around my pipe while I lug nuts out of your pussy and wrench you on my tip. Flood this kingdom while I bust down every lever you tried to build to protect me. Just don't worry about me. I know how to swim. Stroke and flow all through your river. Eat all your fish and open the mouth of your cream stream to carry me to my destination. And I finally arrive. Thank you, baby.
Okay. Hold on.
Could you say that line one more time? You said, just for breakfast. It's the way you said that that just made my legs pop open. Could you say that one more time?
Hold on, which line?
The one where you talk right before. Yeah, the breakfast line. And say just for breakfast, just like you said it before, if you can.
Oh, my God. Okay, hold on. I gotta find it. I can't even remember where I said it.
Okay.
Let me climb on top of you and sit my thick rod on top of your flower as I latch onto your left nipple and help myself to breakfast.
Oh, that wasn't what you said. You said something about eating it just for breakfast. Or maybe
hold
I
on.
Heard you wrong. I don't know.
Now I will listen. I will eat it just for breakfast now.
Wait.
I can always eat the first meal of the day every day.
Order in the court. Order in the court.
Don't get me started. You better hit that bang that
order.
Down behind because you know. Order. You know how I do.
Order in the court. I'm gonna need everybody to stop the trembling, the juicing, the running, the all of that. We must contain ourselves. We have company. You must, you know, yeah. Miss Holder, I can't take them nowhere. They're all packed up.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
It is the erotic version of Bebe's kids, but naked. This is what happens.
Oh my God.
This is what goes down.
No, Bebe.
Look,
oh my God.
All I'm saying,
what
it was
goes
good
on.
For me. It was good for me. That's
I'm just
I'm
saying,
saying.
We understand. I'm just saying. So, Ms. Holter, I don't really apologize because this is just who they are. So you just have to bear with me. You just have to bear with me. I hope this is fun for you. Is it good for you as it was? Is it good for them? What'd you say?
Are you talking to me?
So, yeah, I'm talking to you.
Oh, no, I'm here. I didn't say anything. I'm listening.
Are they okay? Well, never mind. I don't even want to talk about it. I was a little afraid because when you said latch onto the nipple, I was like that might be in bad right now. I was like, that might be bad. I'm not sure. I'm going to go to Edwina. I don't know if Edwina would like to read. Edwina, would you like to read?
Sure, I can read something.
Erotic, please.
Erotic. I got you.
Sure, why not?
Okay. Ready? All right. Your words choke me playfully. You tickle the secret place in me. You try the key in a door that had yet to be named in me. What do you want, you ask me? Willfully sticking your fingers into places marked no trespassers. What do you want, you ask me? Wrapping your knowing around my throat, forcing my bottom teeth open against my reason. This man really asked me what I needed. I couldn't believe it, but I couldn't control how your knowing had me open. It's like you breathe the universe of possibilities. Now here I stand, spread open like the Vitruvian man, waiting for you to name me, blame me like they did Eve. Instead, you asked me, what did I need? Pulled me gently from my knees, made sure that I was steady on my feet, stepped back and casually took a seat. Tell me, baby, what do you need? Take your time, my love, just breathe. I inhaled long and exhaled deep. After taking a minute to think, I replied, see me. Look me over easy. Before we are intimate, into me see. Remain seated as I disrobe, slowly gathering up my courage to show you the part of my garden that had yet to be nourished. Let me flourish under your tentative gaze. Wait as I slowly peel out of my inhibition and melt like butter. Be a cover, be a covenant. Drink me in like a tall sip of water. Cocoa kiss shoulders, the length of my neck, the pillows of my breast, the abstract expressionist splatter of my tattered growing, the wide set of my forgotten pride. I want to be naked for the first time. I want to be naked for the first time. What do I want? Stoked by your urging, I make quick work of purging my rational self now. Watch me pinch my nipples as they stand at attention, caressing my clitoral erection, legs spread apart, fingers rhythmic, up, down, left, right, A, B start. Watch me as I cheat code my way to beast mode. Watch me as I bloom under your tentative gaze, glazed in anticipation, losing my fingers as I forget the rules of submission, forming a vortex inside my cervix. Watch me as my nectar flows, my soul exposed. What do I want? I want you to savor the fat meat. I want you to savor me. Suck the fat meat where it's greasy. Take it easy. Don't rush this moment. Savor the flavor of every component. Lick every inch like I'm made out of chocolate, hot and sweet. Let me learn your love language directly from your tongue. What do I want? Two chairs, one knee straddled open defenselessly, at ease as you please me. Chocolate-covered cherry kisses missing nothing, relentless, a shake in submission. Savor me as I bury my fist in your hair, pinning you there, wide in my waist as I ride your face, letting nothing go to waste. What do I want? feed me. Come alive in my mouth like lightning in a bottle. Battle yourself for control. Convulse as I swallow more than just my pride. I want to take my place in the palm of your hand, in the crust of your moon as your nails sink deep in the clouds of my curves, as I sex fill the rooms with cloying notes of musk with pheromones for undertones. I want to be drunk on your sweat, heady off your breath. I want to show you what comes of a lady when the lights are low like this. I want to take you in as deep as my secrets. I want full control as my dips and rolls test my O and your restraint. What do I want? I want to be the flame and the fire we make. And I don't want to work with a motherfucker like Rena Simmons. What the fuck? That was fucking brilliant.
This piece, Rena.
Thank you.
The cadence, the visuals, the joy that you found in sharing it.
Yeah.
All like we through this experience. What a way to end this night. That was fan-fucking-tastic. You can email me anytime.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Like, it was clear. You had an amazing grip on your words and your intentions with your phrasing and your tone. It was good. It was fucking perfection. Like, that's the one.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you so much.
I really enjoyed that. Hey, thank you guys for this awesome experience.
Oh, thank you.
But wait. Wait. It's not over yet. I got to go.
Oh.
I must provide some drippage before we close out. Oh, why not? However, I got to switch over. Hold on. Let me switch over
to this. All right. So y'all can hear me.
I hope y'all got your water shoes because really wet.
I'm just saying, I just want to know if, this is too loud. Okay, hold on. Yeah, that's loud. Is that good?
That's
that
too
good?
Low now, a little bit.
Okay, hold on. Here we go. That's good.
A little bit more.
Is it too loud? All right. I don't want to get too crazy. Hold on. All right. Y'all ready?
Okay.
All right. What do I like? I like the feeling of your lips parsing mine. A good goddamn kiss that changes the atmosphere, draws down moisture, raises bridges. There is nothing better than the smell of your pussy. Excited, inviting the strength of a tongue, dancing on the hood of your clit to tease and suck to see how you flip. Let me look you in your eyes. I slowly watch your yoni bloom. Groom your flower till your hips speak of the impending doom. I map your clit in my mind. Most men want to grab handfuls of ass. I want to grab shoulders to hold you still. Let me lick and nibble your sides and inner hips. Allow me to create history between our orgasms. Introduce you to my aroused penis, to your wet and excited vagina. I am only here to hear how you moan and cry, incite me to chorus. I blow this popsicle stand. Let me use my fingers and master your internal. Any wish is your command. It is beautiful how you envelop me. Ask me to your oasis, culture, pool, pondering this fool with a question. What do I like? I like breasts, beautiful and full, but your tongue, it awaits for me, tells me the tales of your desire in exchange for the fire of your passion, willing to open your Pandora's box of hidden freak and desire. I could cusp your breasts soft yet firm, position my mouth that each one shares my tongue so they double dutch between my taste, hardening caramel peaks, raising the force of sensitivity. And I want you sitting on top of my peak, prepared to part your pleasure with the measure, gathering in copious amounts, beginning to seep out and begin to slick. I want to feel your lips. Give me a kiss. Ride me slow. Put place my hand as a foundation on each side, but you are a fetish, so let me suck your toes to the throes of passion overtake you deep as far as I can go. Let me know you and the victim of consent. Let me defy you with debauchery, unseen, only as a blue movie. Won't look at me in the morning, leave particles in the corner of your mouth and the creases of your skin, the scent of sin covering every orifice that I have been in. And to appease you in the ease of which I took a thief of your resting bitch face, the peace, you better say please. My hands are strong, steady, that needs your flesh, waits for your nature to rise. I will separate you into sections to leave me sampled, the flavor to end up into my beard, let you lay still, and you've been speared by tip and tongue. To the spasm rides your wavelength till you subdue. And when you are not with me, let me talk you through an orgasm, steal you, loot you in your ignorant ass. You know what I came to do. You know what I wanted to do. Let me kiss your hoopla, neck, hips, and ass with the utmost of class, and then fetish you. Poem.
Oh, my God.
Okay. You know what? All these dick chasing and pussy sucking and y'all just got y'all.
Lord.
Oh, my God.
And that is why he's a secret.
Why are y'all even putting y'allself through that shit? Like, why?
Oh, God.
I missed everything transferring over, so if anybody said anything, I completely missed it.
We said a whole lot of
yeah, we were just saying, like, y'all torturing y'allself.
Oh, my gosh. That was
good. How many of y'all married in this room? No damn
problem. I have
said what?
I ain't been talking to an orgasm in a long time, damn.
Wait, yeah. Nobody in this room is married? Is that what you're saying?
I'm a widow.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Why, wow. Should we be?
Yeah, my last partner died, too. That's really intense. It'll make me, because I did not think I would want to be with anybody, but, you know, love happens. You just got to be open. Has it been a long time?
Yeah. It's been a long time for everything.
Because I moved kind of quick, but, you know. That's
you open. Know what? Can I go back to the other man's poem? I can't remember his name, but shit, it's so long.
The whole...
What's his name?
Walking Erotic.
Listen. Yeah, you're going to have to hold that conversation for the drip later. We got to go. We got to go.
Okay.
All right. So I'm sorry. Ms. Holter, did you enjoy yourself this evening?
Oh, I really enjoyed that. What a nice balance. You could do with this group of people you have, like, you remember, you probably don't remember because y'all are so young, but did you know that they used to have, like, cereals on the radio?
No.
It's like stories that continue on.
Right.
So you write one part, and this would be a cool exercise for y'all. So, like, let's say you're telling a story, but everybody's telling parts of the same story. But
that
you could do
dope.
That
That's
as
brilliant.
An audio. Yeah, you could do that as an audio series, and it would be so fucking dope because everyone in here tonight has, like, a unique voice. If y'all can get it streamlined into one show, like, I would listen. Mm. Like, a story of, you know, come up with whatever the story is going to be, and then everybody take part in it. And it would be, like, a really fun exercise and very much great entertainment because I really enjoyed my time inside this room. It was
I'd like to
boring.
Thank you for.
Yeah, there was no one who was boring or self-righteous. It was just a real it felt like a real legit down home experience. So I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you for being
here. No, thank you. Thank you. So number one, before we go, please tell our listening audience and people here how they can find you.
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm still setting up. If anybody out there knows how to do this mighty network website, like, I am open. But I'm trying to build my group on here so people can just, like, showcase their stuff and all that. It'll be linked to my main site. So most of my sites are linked to my main site, which is jessahota.com. So pretty much you'll find, like, Punani TV on there. That's, like, the adult video. Not, it's not porn, but it's close. It's artistic nudity or whatever, and that is at punanitv.com. If you want to find out more about our nonprofit, that's at hipinc.org. But pretty much everything is linked at jessahota.com. Like, I'm trying to, like, make all my stuff available to the public. If you want to produce one of my programs in your city, I'm completely open to it. We can even send, like, one of the Punani regulars to help with the production. So I just really am about spreading the word of love, black sexuality, and self-care. And so if anybody, you know, is on board to do that, there's a theater near you, and you think we could do it pretty simply between us, like, I'm totally open. That's what this is, man. It's all love.
Absolutely.
Oh, definitely. Most definitely. Yeah. Well, you know, the Drip is at your service. And thank you for wandering into our room on Clubhouse. That was one of the best things that ever happened.
Yeah, I haven't even. I think it was the last group I signed up for, but I'm so glad that I did, because I haven't really been on it because I was spending too much time. I was getting sensitive. But, you know, it was distracting me, and I have this tour to plan. So I'm kind of doing my tour planning right now, and I'm still reaching out to the community because in the cities that we're going to, so everyone in here, feel free to slide on over to jessahota.com because you'll see the tour calendar, and you'll find out if we're going to be in your area. So I always put at least one person that is local on the stage when I go to a city out of fucking respect. Okay, so maybe we'll be flying to your area. Maybe we already connected. Maybe it'll be good for y'all. You know, it's all good.
Absolutely.
But
I would definitely.
We got Detroit, Pontiac, Michigan, Chicago, Houston, Oklahoma City, Silver Spring, Maryland, Orlando, Florida, all on the calendar already, and we're just getting started.
That's beautiful.
Okay. Beautiful.
Well, thank you. It's been a distinct honor and a privilege to have you here on Epiphany Radio Universe, particularly here on the Honey Dripper 2.0. I am so glad that we had a conversation that actually got more into seeing, not just talking about your art and what you could do, but actually talking to you about you, which is very incredible for us, and I'm very thankful for that.
And it's very
can we give her a round of applause?
You had the foresight and fortitude to come up with some really good questions that allowed me to speak on a variety of topics. And I cannot impress upon you the importance of doing that when you're interviewing a person who's been interviewed. Like, a lot of times, that showed a lot of professionalism on your part. I feel like your interview was well researched. And as a former journalist, hey, I am very impressed. Like, I fucked with you. That was great. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Because my anxiety was high. You know my anxiety is high when I can't eat. I could not eat. I was like, oh, my God. So I was, like, flipping out. Because you understand, like, sometimes, you know, your dreams are closer than it seems, and I always dreamed that I would interview you and have a conversation with you, and now it happened. So, you know, It's the power of manifestation, the power of opportunity, and opportunity helps to create abundance. As long as we stay grateful for everything, we exist in a state of grace. And I'm glad that we were able to have you here. And we don't want you to be a stranger. We want you to come back because it was amazing talking to you. It really was.
Yeah.
And we enjoyed it from your poetry
well,
to
really
your conversation too. Thank you.
Y'all make me feel like y'all make me feel, because y'all over there all horny and shit. I feel like I'm going to end with a poem, if that's okay. It's short. I just feel like y'all deserve some head.
Thank you. None of this can be done without the people who surround me. Like you surround yourself, this is my tribe. This is the people I surround myself
yes.
with. And literally, someone hired me for a different network. I didn't even go because I couldn't leave home, because this is my home. This is my people. This is my family. And I surround myself with them, and they're all amazing, incredible, and none of this could be done without them. And I feel very supportive. I am, therefore we are, and that's how I feel about this. So thank you for coming. I really appreciate that. You know,
okay,
so can we give her a round of applause?
Yeah.
Me and my wife?
Stop being so nice. I won't lie, I give good head, and my truth be naked, but protected like the sensual elixir that fills your love blood as I exercise my skill, blessing you with seductive thrills at the pink rose petal lips of my cafe ole with extra cream skin, whose first wetness at repeat rhythms to your monumental extension. My hands also know their craft, they play your skin flute with the careful, expert skill of finely tuned instrument deserves and this head doctor's tongue like a satin coated homing device probes beyond your proud outward gesture to that hidden underneath place as my long eyelashes give butterfly kisses to your generation side. Won't lie, I don't lie, I could suck a golf ball through a yard of garden hose. What can Punani do for you? Poem.
Can we please give them also another round of applause?
Cool.
Yeah.
Oh,
bravo.
Now I gotta go to Lowe's and get a garden hose.
That's the head doctor poem. That's the poem I'm based on interacting so on. So, you know, we be getting it in. So, you know, for all you erotic poets, you have a home in Punani.
Oh, thank you.
We are more than happy.
Amazing.
But you know what? You know what I also think that we should also do? I think that not like this year, but next year when we do our conference, you need to come in and lecture. I honestly believe that. Malaya, that you should come in and lecture about erotic poetry, the history, things of that sort. Not just, you know, I'm planning something for next year. We got smaller stuff going on this year. But we will be in Atlanta in October, but we're going to be in Philly the 7th through the 10th. But
of July. When will you be in Atlanta in October?
I believe either second or third week, probably the third week.
Okay, so if y'all do anything in Atlanta on the third week, I definitely cannot come because that's Sweetest Day in the Midwest.
But if anybody in the group is going to be in Pontiac, Chicago, or Detroit, that's where we'll be. If you do the first weekend, like I got a little playhouse at my house, so we do small events with like 30 or 40 people in my basement. And I got like my bar and all like that. I film and I put it on my little channel and everything. You know, it's a little, I don't push it all over in there because it's kind of private. But yeah, I got a little spot here y'all can slide through. You can have some drinks, smoke one, like videotape some kind of B roll stuff, whatever. You know, if y'all gonna be here.
Oh, no. Listen. We gonna talk. I'm going to hit you. We're going to let you get your rest tonight, and then I'm going to send you the playback tomorrow morning, and then I'm on you with the conversation, guaranteed.
All right, cool. Well, it's been a real pleasure, guys, really.
Oh, my gosh, it's a pleasure.
Thank you. It's been an amazing night. Thank you for everybody. Thank y'all for coming.
Thank you.
I want to thank everybody who participated tonight. Thank you for being here. This is Epiphany Radio Universe for Real Entertainment Network, sponsored by Raw Links, Why Be Average When You Could Be Raw. Thank you for coming to this special edition of the Honey Dripper 2.0 with Jessica Holter of the Punani Poets, HIP, and so many other amazing things. Please check her out on Punani TV, punani.tv, and also her site, jessicaholter.com. With that being said, we wish you a warm evening. If you feel hot like I do and sweating through your stuff, you might want to go take a cold shower. for the rest of us who are not doing that, we want to wish you a fine way well. You know, and this podcast will self-destruct in 10, 9,
thank
7,
you, Jessica. It's a pleasure meeting you.
6, 5, 4,
good night, girl.
3.
Good night, everybody.
2, 1. Good evening. One love, one mic.
One love, one mic.